Number two. I will make disciples. I will make disciples. Let's turn to Matthew again. Matthew 28. I want you again to see this. These beautiful wordings here. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, Jesus gave His great commission, what they call the Great Commission. He gave it in verse 19. He says, "Go ye therefore." Well, let's read the verse before, bless God. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, because all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now that word teach, remember we're talking about disciples and learning and all of that. That word teach there means make disciples. It means make disciples. "Go ye therefore and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." I will make disciples. Jesus left those words with His disciples. Go and make disciples. And in a sense, this second point is actually part of point number one, but I have made it a separate point because there's a whole lot more to this whole thing of being an evangelist than just going out and telling, although I want you to do that, and if that's all you do, I want you to do that. But there's more to it than that. Jesus preached the gospel to the multitudes, all who would listen to Him. But He also spent much of His time making disciples of those who wanted to learn. And I believe we need to have the same kind of posture. Yes, there's a lost and dying world out there. They need to hear the good news. They need to hear it even if it's a testimony against them in the day of judgment. They need to know that there's a Savior who was given for the soul, for their soul, to save them from their sins. They need to know that. But oh, Jesus also spent much of His time making disciples of those who wanted to learn. And Jesus was saying that to His disciples. I want you to make disciples in the way that you saw me make disciples of you. Now I want you to go make disciples. That takes a bit more time. But they knew what He meant. Jesus took a few under His wing and poured His life into them. Do you see a strategy? I mean, the Lord Jesus was God in the flesh. He so loved the world that He was willing to go and submit Himself to the will of His Father and become the sacrifice for the sins of humanity. Jesus loved the world. Jesus had a whole world that He wanted to win. What was His strategy? He poured His life into 12 men. That's what He did. And when He left 12 men who had been discipled by the God of heaven incarnate. Beautiful. He trained 12 men. And I want to challenge you young people this morning to reproduce yourself. Reproduce yourselves at least one time in the next year. And you may say as you're sitting here, "Oh no, not another one of me." Well, that's what Bible school's all about. See? It shouldn't be that way. Oh, I know you may have needs in your life, but listen, let's get on fire for God. Let's get the fire of God burning in our souls. Let's get a heart that has an open heaven over it. Let's get those things cleared away and then just go make one more like that and bring them back here with you the next time you come. Oh, you have no idea the confusing, complicated blessing you would put on us if all of you brought one with you next year.
We wouldn't know what to do.
But we would love the challenge of trying to figure it out.
If you would just all go and make one more like you. If you just go find one more who wants to come and spend a whole week in Bible school like you do. Make a disciple. Pull somebody underneath your wing. And carry them along. And walk with them. And talk with them. And instruct them. And pray with them. And pray over them. And guide them. And encourage them. And show them. And walk with them. And talk with them. And instruct them. And pray for them. And guide them. And encourage them. Just bring one underneath your wing in the next year. And make a disciple whose heart is on fire for God and wants to learn everything they can. Make a disciple. Reproduce yourself. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I will make disciples. I will. And you say, oh, I need to grow first, Brother Denny. I need to grow first. That statement is a trick and a lie out of hell. You know that? You know how many people, you know how many of God's people are sitting around doing nothing, waiting till they grow enough, mature enough to go, and you know what? They never go. You've been tricked. If you would go make a disciple, you would grow like you haven't ever grown before. I tell you, it's a trick. The ones who grow the fastest are the ones who get the most involved in the lives of others. I've seen it down through the years. It's a trick of the devil. It's a lie of the devil to say, you're not good enough. No, not you. Maybe in a year you can. That's not the way it was in the book of Acts. Go make a disciple. I mean, look. All you have to do, simple as this, get your heart thoroughly right with God. This week, whatever that costs you, then walk in that from these days forward and go find somebody and bring them under your wing and show them how to get their heart thoroughly right with God and how to walk in it. And just bring them along with you next year. That's all you have to do. You don't have to go for years. You don't have to be studying your Bible for months. Disciple. Just reproduce one more like you. Oh, the joy of winning souls. It'll change your life, young people. If you've never known the joy of seeing a soul on their knees next to you and hearing them travail their heart out before God and see them come through and see the light of God light up on their face as they receive forgiveness of sin and a divine nature within them. If you've never had that experience, don't quit until you have. I will be an evangelist and I will make disciples. Number three. I will waste my life on my fellow man. I will waste my life on my fellow man. First John 4:10 says it this way. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I will waste my life on my fellow man. Now, young people, everyone wastes their life on something. Isn't that right? Everyone wastes their life on something. They give it away on something. Remember that 21-year-old boy on his bike, you know, the little
trite. I call him trite. He's wasting his whole life. He is spending his whole life. He's breaking all of his bones. He's skinning his knuckles. He's skinning his knees. He's skinning his elbows. He's wasting his life mastering this little trite that does fancy things in the air when he goes around the loop. He's wasting his life. Everybody wastes their life on something. Some people waste their lives on TVs. They tell me that Generation X spends about 5 hours a day watching TV. Some waste it on sports. I mean, they literally waste their life on sports. Some waste it on building earthly kingdoms. But everybody wastes their life on something. I don't know about you, but I would much rather waste mine on malaria than broken bones on a tricycle. I don't know about you, but if I gotta go, I mean, if I'm gonna have a maimed body the rest of my days when I'm an old man, I'd rather have one from getting malaria than skinning up my bones on a bicycle. Amen? I mean, come on! Where's our value system? I'd rather have sore boils on my back that hurt and pain me than skinned knees and skinned arms. I'd rather be sweating in some tropical climate or in a desert somewhere for the souls of men than sweating out all the life that's in my body, running down a racetrack somewhere or riding a bicycle around a track. I'd rather be doing that. How about you, young people? I will waste my life on my fellow man. A disciple will give his or her life away for others. Don't doubt it, young people. A disciple gives their life away for others. And let me give you a secret, young people. Those who do that, providing they're still in the mode of yesterday's sermon, and from that mode of loving God, like we spoke about yesterday, those who choose to waste their lives on others, there is a fountain of grace that is poured out upon their lives like you can't imagine. Like you can't imagine. I mean, it's the Sea of Galilee, brothers and sisters. As the grace of God flows into your life and you allow it to flow out into the world around you, the grace of God will keep flowing into your life. But if the grace of God flows into your life all this week long and you go home and do nothing about it, you'll be like the Dead Sea which has no water flowing out of it. It all flows in and it never flows out. It's stagnant, it's dead, it's salty, and there's no living creature in it. Which kind of a life do you want? I'm telling you, you make the choice. I'm going to waste my life on my fellow man. And heaven will open up over your life and grace will flow like you've never known before. You'll get so addicted to that flowing grace in your life that you won't be able to live any other way. And that's what I want for you young people. And the cause is the salvation of their soul. Now there are lots of things to do. There are hungry people to feed. Yes, there are bruised knees to bandage, and there are people whose foot is rotting away with all kinds of infection, and those feet need to be cared for. But I'm telling you, while you care for that foot that is rotting away, there's a never-dying soul represented by that rotten foot. And oh, young people, the reason for healing the foot is to heal the soul. That's the motivation. Yes, go help your neighbor. Go with that dear old lady who needs her fence painted and paint her fence. But when you get done, tell her about Jesus. Tell her about the Lord Jesus. Yes, go to your neighbor and comfort that dear widow whose husband is gone. And maybe even drop off a basket full of groceries. But when you drop off the basket, tell her about Jesus. Is there any greater love and care and concern than the fact that we would like to see this soul regenerated by the Spirit of the living God and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son? Is there any higher love, motivation of love than that? No, there isn't, young people. Every other act of love flows into that one. We must read these words in Daniel, if you want to turn there. I think we'll be all right. Let's turn there to Daniel. The book of Daniel in chapter 12. Some of my favorite verses. Daniel 12, verse 1 through 3. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, that's the Lamb's book of life. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Look at verse 3. And they that be wise, that word wise there is teachers, disciples. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. There's the rewards, dear young people, eternal rewards for those who waste their lives for the souls of men. You may not get a lot in this life. Don't worry about it. Bless God, there's rewards coming. They last for eternity. Do it. I want to recommend it to you. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I will waste my life on my fellow man. And the fourth point today, because you are young disciples, and most of you relate to a home setting, a father, a mother, brothers and sisters, the fourth one, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, I will love my family. I will love my family. The previous point surely flows into this one, because when you talk about laying down your life, wasting your life for your neighbor, surely the closest neighbors you have is your father, your mother, your brothers, and your sisters. Are they not your neighbors? They are. They are your neighbors. According to the New Testament, they're your neighbors. Generation X needs to see a new breed of youth. Do you understand, young people? That walk to the beat of different drums, who lay down their lives to love, to serve, and respect their families. Generation X needs an example, young people. They who despise. We live in a day and an age when youth despise their parents. They despise their home. They don't want to be there. It's not all their fault. They've been neglected. I'm not throwing stones at them. They've been neglected. They haven't been taught. Mom and dad have been too busy. Mom and dad have been making money. There's all kinds of reasons, but still, they despise, they disrespect their families, they rebel against their parents, they don't want to do what their parents say, they're shaking off authority with everything they've got. They make trouble in their home, they make trouble, they fight, they argue, they carry on with mom and dad, they spurn their brothers and sisters and push them away and don't have time for them. I tell you, there needs to be a generation of young people that will set a different example than that. I tell you, you will stick out like a sore thumb, or may I say, like a beautiful thumb, if you will live that way, dear young people, in relation to your fathers and your mothers and your brothers and your sisters. Raise a new example. Let the Spirit of Jesus dwell in you and live in you and lay down your life for your family, young people. They are your closest neighbors. You cannot be a disciple and despise your parents and spurn your siblings. You cannot be one. You cannot be a disciple if your heart says, I will not submit to my dad and the things that he wants me to do. I will not submit to my mom and the things that she always is fussing at me about. I'm not going to submit to those things. You cannot be a disciple and have attitudes like that, young people. Those are contrary to the God who saved you, if you're saved here this morning. You cannot do it. Give your heart, which is your life, by the way. Give your heart to your mom and your dad, young people. You know, some of you, you don't want to do that. Some of you have too many things that you want to do that. You know, it's one thing to go to an altar and say to God, whom you can't see, Oh God, I give you everything, Lord. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Oh God, I give you my future. I mean, you can wax eloquent up here talking to a God that you can't see. But can you sit down with your father or your mother, qualified, who love the Lord, who are concerned about your life? Can you sit down with them and say to your dad, Dad, take my life and let it be whatever you want it to be. Guide me, direct me. Go into my closet and tell me what to wear. Go into my car and go through my music. Dad, I don't care anymore. I want whatever you want. I'm not going to carry on and fuss at you anymore. I'm not going to make a stink every time you try to touch something in my life. That's consecration, young people. And it's not consecration to your dad. It's consecration to God. One dear young lady came to me. I don't think she'll mind me sharing it. I told her to share it at a testimony meeting. But a dear young lady came to me this week and she said, Brother Denny, last year in Bible school, you challenged us young people to give our hearts to our dad. And she said, and I knew my heart was not my dad. There was all kinds of things that I was keeping for me. I will do what I want. I will wear what I want. I will listen to the music I want to listen to, and I'll go where I want. And there's a few things that I'm just going to keep that are my secrets that I'm not sharing with you, Dad. And she knew it. And she determined, I'm going to go home and I'm going to give my heart to my dad. I'm going to do it. She went home. She made an appointment, I think it was Thanksgiving Day. She went to the store and bought one of these little pewter? That silver metal pewter heart? Girls, is that the right word? I don't know what those words are. Is it pewter, Miss Likens? Yeah, it's little silver, like she got one of those little pewter hearts. And she sat down with her dad on Thanksgiving Day and they had a 3-hour session together. She said she went through a whole box of Kleenex. Whole box of Kleenex. She wept. She confessed. She repented. She gave thanks. She gave and yielded for 3 hours with her dad. Probably blew him away. She said, before that, we had so much conflict. I said, well, how's it been for the last year? Oh, she said, it's been beautiful. I said, how's heaven been over your life? And with a big glowing smile, she said, it's open. It's been open all year. all year? Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. It's been open all year. Some of you young men need to do that too, by the way. That's not just for girls, amen? That's for the young men too. Dad, here's my heart. You do with it what you want. No more reservations. No more secrets. No more certain things that I reserve for me. You know, I'm becoming a young man, you know. I have to make my own decisions, and I need to do what I need to do, and I need to know what is right, and I can make my own. Lay it down, boy. Lay it down. And I want to say something to you, dear Hutterite young people. Because I know that some of you, your head's just spinning. Oh, what Brother Denny just said. How do I relate to all of that? I don't even have a home to go home to. Well, it may be that you'll have to lay down your life more, even more than what I just described, in deeper ways, in ways that are harder to lay down than even what I described, in order to be a disciple who loves your family. I understand some of you have some difficult things to work through, and I'm not telling you have to go back underneath some religious system and submit to your mom and dad when dad's going to say, renounce your baptism and your faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not telling you that. You cannot do that. You must love the Lord Jesus more than your father and your mother. But oh, let your father and mother know and sense the flow out of your heart, one of respect, one of honor, one of love, one of desire to bless them in any way, in every way you can. Let there not be one rebellious spirit and bone in your body because you have followed the Lord Jesus and had to leave home. You can lay down your life for your mom and dad in ways that the others cannot. And I want to encourage you to do it. I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will love my family. I'm going to live out my faith in such a way that Generation X will look on and think that I must be from another planet, the way I treat my mom and dad and my brothers and sisters. He must be from another planet. And may God help us to do it in Jesus' name. Let's stand for prayer. Let's pray. We love you, Lord, this morning as we stand here before your throne again. We love you, Lord. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We humble ourselves under your word, Lord. We humble ourselves unto your speaking voice this morning and pray, God, work in our hearts and our lives that we can love our neighbors the ways we have heard this morning. Oh God, I pray, change these young people, Lord. Set them on fire, Lord. Give them a vision of a lost and dying world. Give them a vision for the reason why they're here. Lord, it's the only reason why we're here. The only one. Because the rest of the world is yet lost. God, we commit these words into your hands and pray you will work in each one of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.